Welcome to Pacific University Study Abroad Podcast. My name is Soichiro Matahira, and today we'll be talking to Maggie Kobe, who studied abroad in Chile. Thank you for coming, Maggie.
Thank you for having me. It's always good to share my experiences.
So how's Chile, Maggie?
Chile overall was great, but it was a lot of different things. It was very dynamic.
Why did you choose to learn Spanish?
I started learning Spanish when I was very young, and throughout my college career, I've come to understand that it's important to have a second language for me personally, and also on a large scale, because I love travel, and it really opens up a lot of doors for work opportunities, for learning experiences, and things like that.
Do you plan on using Spanish in your future?
Yes, I do. But I'm not sure where, but I do.
What was your image of Chile, and has it changed after you went there?
My image of my ideas on Chile before I went actually were really open because I didn't know much about it. I had experienced parts of Latin America, but I knew that Chile was the most economically stable country in South America. And when I went there, I could definitely feel that part of it. My image of it after having left was that I love it for the same reason that I do most Latin American countries, and that's just the sense of community and family and relationships that people have with each other.
Why did you choose to go to Chile? Because you could have gone to other Spanish-speaking countries, like Spain or Mexico.
That's true, actually, and I had contemplated on going to Spain. But I've already been to Spain before, and so I ruled that out. I wanted a new experience. And then I thought I could go to Ecuador, but I visited Ecuador, and also there were other students that I would know there. And I really wanted to have an experience just on my own, not knowing anybody. And I chose Chile, which is a program outside of Pacific, actually. I unenrolled to do that, and just went there independently. I really wanted a separate experience.
So you went there by yourself. Did you have any worries?
No, I don't think I had any worries about going by myself. I guess the thing that I contemplated most was just, I knew that the program would be more difficult because it's a full immersion program where I was actually going to classes with Chilean students. So I wasn't taking exchange student classes, and that was my biggest worry, was the language barrier. But I got through that, and I guess the thing that I hoped to have most when I went there was just the energy to be motivated and really be an active participant in my classes and the community and with the family I was living with. But it turned out well.
What classes did you take?
I took an introduction to anthropology class, Latin American history, medieval Spanish literature, Spanish grammar, Spanish writing, and Latin American poetry.
Did you experience any culture shock?
I think that's a hard question to answer because most of the time when you hear people talk about culture shock, you only hear specific references to it. For me, it was...
Okay, change the question. I know nothing about Chile, so can you explain about Chile a little bit?
I would say one of the things that I noticed first and most of all there was just the pace of life, which is very, very slow. And you can notice it just from the way that you see people walking in the city. People walk very slow. And I remember feeling frustrated, like I was stuck behind these people and I had to get around them. But then I thought, why am I in such a hurry? I don't know. It made me reconsider that about here, too, the pace at which we move. And Oregon is a relatively slow state, but still, overall in the U.S., we move much faster. And that's not only prominent in Chile, but in all the Latin American countries that I've been to. And I would say as far as study abroad experiences for me that are important, I think it's really important the way that leaving your own country, your native country, and going abroad makes you look at your own culture. Because you wouldn't see those things about your culture if you didn't step outside to a place where they no longer existed. It's like It's like if you have something every day, you don't really notice its role in your life until it's changed or disappeared. And that, for me, is really important with traveling.
So which culture do you like better?
Chile, definitely. I would say Chile because one way that I feel that I've always had a hard time, now I realize it, I didn't before, but had a hard time fitting in here is just that I'm not a person that really abides by time constraints. People often refer to me as being really distracted and slow, but there, that's pretty average. And it's unaverage to be, it's not typical to be on time or really be preoccupied with time, which I'm not. So I really enjoyed that about there.
What was your most surprising story in Chile?
Okay. It's surprising for me. I mean, it's not like this huge adventure tale. But one of the biggest things for me that I noticed, or changes in myself that I noticed there, was that I actually had people comment on what an assertive or upfront person I was, in my opinions, and I've never, ever had somebody say that to me. Usually people think I'm pretty passive and pretty unaggressive. But I think because I was speaking in a second language and I didn't know enough of it to use euphemisms or to beat around the bush with things, I could only speak in a straightforward manner, which for me is really good practice because that's always been something about myself that I've wanted to change, and speaking in a second language really helped me to do that.
How about your most interesting story?
Interesting, I think, would be, there's a lot of them. But the one that's the most fun to tell is the time that one of the times that I got robbed. There were only two. I decided last minute to take a trip with a friend of mine who is from France. And we decided we were going to take a trip to Argentina and skip the last few days of school. So we buy our bus tickets, and because it's last minute, we had to do a really low-grade bus company. And first we had to stop in Santiago, which is the capital of Chile, and about halfway to where we were going in Argentina. And we get to the bus platform where you're supposed to board, and the bus wasn't there. And this uniformed bus terminal attendant came up to us and told us that our bus had already left and that we could actually intercept it because he would be making another stop in the city. And we thought, okay, and we follow him to a taxi cab and we get in, but everything's very, very rushed, and it's both of our second languages. So they speak to you very quickly, and it seems like they make it feel like you have to hurry up, you have to catch this bus. So we get into this car, and they start driving, and before we know it, 20 minutes has gone by and we're no longer in the city, and the cab driver insists on turning around and telling us how fast he's going, which in kilometers I don't even know, but he was definitely going over 100 miles per hour and thought it was quite fascinating. So we continued like that for 10 more minutes until we got to a toll bridge leading to the Andes Mountains, where they let us out but told them that we had to pay them 25,000 pesos, which is about $50. And I told him I didn't want to pay him, but he insisted. And it was midnight, and we're on a toll bridge in the dark with nobody else around, so I paid him. And then he asked me for a tip, and I told him he was insane, and I wouldn't tip him. And we waited on this toll bridge. They left. They left us there. We had all our bags, and it's extremely cold at the summit of the Andes Mountains. And we were talking to one of the people in the toll booth. There was one woman there, and she told us that no buses for Mendoza, that was the city in Argentina we were trying to get to, would pass by there. And they were really nice to us, the toll booth workers. They gave us chocolate and cigarettes, and eventually, after we had been there for 2 hours, they opened up a toll booth for us and let us stay in there for the night because it was heated. And there was no way to get back into the city at that point. Until Zoe contacted a friend who came and picked us up, and we just stayed in Santiago for the weekend. That was it.
Did you get to Argentina anyway?
No, we never got to Argentina.
Well, sounds like Chile is a dangerous country, but you still like Chile, right?
I think when I first got there, our site directors would often tell us all the precautions we'd need to take. And they really made it sound like we were living in a dangerous area. It's one of the biggest cities in Chile, second to Santiago. But it's no more dangerous than living in any big city in the U.S. And I think that that's something people need to keep in mind. The only thing that makes it more dangerous is that it's foreign to you, and maybe you don't understand it. And for that reason, you can stand out as a foreigner, and you might become more of a target for crime. But most of the crime there, the majority of it, is petty theft and not violent. So I never had any encounters with anyone trying to be violent towards me. I did get robbed twice, but that was it, you know. And I think in the U.S., we have, as far as violent crime goes, it's much higher than in Chile, much more of something to worry about. Just to give an explanation to my story and the type of crime that I'm talking about there, like petty theft, I think that because a lot of people live within poverty or are lower class, there's a very small middle class there, they've become very creative in the ways in which they can get money from people. So it's not just pickpocketing. Like, the whole cab thing and me being taken to this toll bridge was an elaborate scheme for them to get money from us. And they saw that we were foreigners. We both had blonde hair. We both speak poor Spanish, or did at that time. And so then for them, we're a perfect target. They speak very quickly and rapidly and can confuse us. And it was smart, I have to admit.
What do you think about American culture now? And has it changed after you studied abroad?
Yes, it definitely has. I think when I'm here, living in the United States, there are many more stresses added to my life. There's just more pressures, and there's more of a push towards being independent and being successful in school and your career. And not that that's not there where I was in Chile or in other countries in the world, but it's just not, it's not the center of attention like it is here. There are other areas that are equally as important, like communication and travel and experience and your family and other things which I personally think are really of value. And I don't know, really helped me to establish a better connection with myself and what's important to me. And I think a lot of times it's easy to lose sight of that here in the U.S. Very easy.
Can you talk about the school you went?
Yeah, the school I went to was, it was a Catholic university in Valparaiso. It was ranked one of the top five schools in Chile. I think there were a total of 12,000 students. The exchange program was about 200, and that was students from all over the world, mostly the United States and Western Europe. I really liked all of my classes and my professors, but one of the biggest stresses for me, and I think other students who come from the university setting in the U.S. or Europe, is that there's a huge lack of funding there, or lack of money for education. And so a lot of times professors will be really overworked. They'll work more than one jobs. They won't have offices, so they don't have office hours. And it's really hard to get help out of class. And especially as an exchange student, I mean, that's really hard. And I'm sure for their students, too.
So your teacher had two jobs?
Yeah, I have one professor specifically worked at two different universities, and just because they're underpaid, as they are here too. But to get by, he had two jobs as a professor, and he did not have an office at either of those universities because there's not enough space and there's not enough money to build new spaces. So when I wanted to meet with him, I actually had to leave and get on a bus that went a half an hour outside of the city to go and meet him at a different university. And when I got there, he wasn't there. So I think, and this is another thing, not only does traveling allow you to think critically of your own culture, but also allows you to appreciate things about your own culture. And that's something that I came to appreciate about going to school here in the U.S., and especially at a university like Pacific, is just the accessibility that you have to professors and the quality of education is good.
Did you hang out with local people in Chile?
Yeah, that was one of, that was actually another concern of mine I had when I went there, because this program I went through was an American program. So all the exchange students were American. But I actually really isolated myself from them, and I did meet a lot of local people who I still keep in contact with, some of them. I lived with a family who had four kids. One was 17, one was 19, one was 23, and one was 25. So they were all my age, which was really great. And then just through traveling and talking to people at the university, I made quite a few local friends, and actually worked with one of them who was the head of this kind of outpatient or rehabilitation facility for homeless people, drug addicts, and people who are psychologically unstable. And he actually took me on as a volunteer at his work. And just other professors at the school, I actually was really, became really close with one of the professors. Women were really hard to meet. Women there are very passive and hard to communicate with. I think it has a lot to do with just their role in that culture and society. So that was frustrating. It was hard to meet girls, but I did meet a lot of local men.
What do you think about people in Chile? Were they nice to you, or you had a hard time to communicate with them?
I think there's two sides to that. The first would be, yes, I thought they were very kind and open and warm people. They just had a genuine interest to know about me, and other exchange students too felt this as well, but just a genuine interest in where you're from, and they want to know about your experience there, what you think of Chile. They're very open to talking with you. But on the other side, a lot of times, being light-skinned and having light hair, you stand out as, most presumably to them, as an American, which a lot of times can have negative connotations. They can associate you with what a lot of people associate to be negative things about the U.S. And also, they can assume that you have a lot of money and will hassle you in that way. But I think that doesn't have... That's not just with Chile. I mean, that's a lot of places you would travel in the world where you stand out as a foreigner. But overall, I think they're very open to communicating, and they're very warm, and people seem to talk more there. I like that about it.
Did they stare at you? I've never been to South America, so I don't know if there are many Americans there.
It definitely depends on where you go in South America. There are more touristy areas than other. Having been to a variety of places down there, so I think being to countries and cities that are very different from each other. In Ecuador, my experience was that I stood out very much so, and that people paid a lot of attention to me, which after 2 days becomes extremely frustrating and aggravating, because you just won't be left alone, and it's not necessarily in positive ways either. But it's just something that you have to learn to deal with, and you figure out ways of doing it in a way that's sensitive to their culture as well as your own. But in Chile, not so much. They tend to be much lighter skinned in Chile. I didn't stand out as much. But it's funny, because I did also go to Bolivia, where people are very dark. And I don't know what was different about the culture there from Ecuador that made, when I was in Bolivia, although I stood out hugely as a foreigner, there was no attention drawn towards me. And it was surprising to myself and my sister, who was traveling with me. We were both really, really taken back by that. And unfortunately, I didn't spend a lot of time there, so you could speculate different things as to why, but those two experiences were very different between Bolivia and Ecuador, and the reaction that we got from people.
Did you see any Americans there?
Yeah, I did, actually. No, that's a lie. Okay. In Ecuador, I did not see any Americans. In Bolivia, I did not see any Americans. I did see travelers, but they weren't American. Usually they were European. In Chile, however, I did meet quite a few Americans, but I was also in an area with a lot of universities, And it just tended to be more culturally diverse because people were drawn there for that reason. Foreigners, for education and for travel. It wasn't in the way that it was overrun by Americans. Like, maybe you would think if you go somewhere like Cabo, San Lucas in Mexico, it hadn't been Americanized. Not in that same sense.
Did you ever use English? Because when you're in different country, you want to speak your own language sometimes.
Yeah, that's something else I forgot about. That was a challenge, to try and always be speaking in Spanish, because that was what was ideal for me. I really wanted to improve, and that's why I branched away from the group I was with. My family spoke no English, so I had to speak Spanish with them, which was great, and they were very patient and understanding with me, so that really helped. And then two friends that I made there who were not Chilean, we usually tried to speak Spanish with each other, although our common language was English. We usually always tried to speak Spanish, and we hung out with a lot of Chileans. But that was a tough thing, because a lot of people will kind of resort back to speaking their native language, either because they feel uncomfortable or, I don't know, there's different reasons why, but that's something that often became frustrating, was Spanish and always trying to speak in Spanish. And I definitely had days where I felt like I was really bad at it and was struggling to think, or would even make my head hurt. So I would resort back to English sometimes, but I always tried to stay on Spanish.
Do you think you've changed through study abroad?
Yes, definitely. I can't imagine who I would be if I hadn't had my experiences abroad. It's hard, though, to say if it was just Chile. I love to travel, so I try to travel as much as I can, and I've traveled a bit. But from each of those experiences, I can't imagine myself without them. That's how much I think I've changed because of them.
When did you decide to study abroad? Did you know if Pacific has a program, or you came here and found out about it?
I definitely wanted the university that I was going to go to when I was looking at schools to have a study abroad program. That was very important for me. And it did play a role in why I chose Pacific. I think they have a really, really well-rounded program. They have 12 countries, I think, maybe more now. And actually, although my program in Chile was separate from Pacific, they did give me credit for that. I was able to receive credit, which was really great. So they like to work with students who are interested in studying abroad. They're willing to be flexible with you, and I think that was one of the greatest things with it. The fact that they put so much energy and pride into their abroad program, I think, says a lot about their feelings on travel and experience. And also, I had struggles trying to figure it in with my major. I'm a psych major, and it was really difficult for psych majors to study abroad. But they worked a lot with me on rearranging my schedule so I could do that. That was really important for me. Okay, for students who are considering studying abroad and having doubts about whether or not they think it's right for them, I think it's hard to say or to specify who and who not that it's right for. I think one of the greatest things about it is that it's just experience. It's like any work that you would do outside of the classroom here locally or in your community, but you're removing yourself and putting yourself in another culture. And I think it's a learning experience as far as coming to understand yourself, who you are, and realizing how much more there is outside of this world here. And with how increasingly our world is moving, becoming integrated, international, globalization, I think it's become more and more important for those reasons too. So the analogy that I can think of for studying abroad, or just traveling, not even studying abroad, but traveling, for me, and this has to do with coming to understand your own culture and where you come from, it's like if you wear the same perfume every day for a whole year, right? After a while, you can't smell that perfume on yourself, you know? And once you change to a new perfume, you can smell it again. It's an unfamiliar smell, and and that you actually can become in touch with its aroma. And I think that's what studying abroad is like. Once I left my native culture, what I was used to living with every day, once I left it and came back to it, it was almost, it became new to me in a way again. I could see it like I couldn't see it before. It's like your senses become so accustomed to it that you almost become blind to it. You don't recognize it anymore. I think it's important to be aware of it. And that is something that will really help you, or did help me to achieve that.
Do you have any advice for people who are thinking about study abroad in the future?
I think it's really tough because when you're considering about going anywhere and living for an extended period of time, you really, I mean, usually your first priority is to make sure that you're going to be comfortable in that area that you're living. But it's really hard to say that for study abroad because you're really removing yourself from everything that you know, from your comfort zone. But the best, I think, just things that will help you personally or whatever is important to you to achieve that and wherever your location is going to be would be researching where you're going, practicing the language, reading different things about the culture, maybe talking to people who are there or who have been there and their experiences, and just keeping an open mind. That's really big, keeping an open mind and being sensitive to the fact that you're going to a new culture and not everybody's going to be sensitive to you because they're in their homeland, and that can be tough.
Thanks, Maggie, for sharing your experiences.
No, thank you. It's good to share and rethink these things. So thank you.